Very grateful that you're here. We have a good handful of visitors. We want you to know that we're very thankful that you're here. It encourages us, and I pray that we are an encouragement to you, and it helps make up for those of our number that are still off at Ledge to Leaders and those who are traveling. But we're grateful that you're here. If you have any questions about anything, don't hesitate to ask. Just a couple things also before I get into my lesson. If you go out in the foyer on either side, there's going to be these flyers. And it's about the Ladies' Day that's coming up May 9th. And there's a QR code. If you don't take the flyer, just capture that QR code and get all the information you need for that Ladies' Day. We would love for you to be a part of that. Now, I wanted to say here before we begin the lesson, Lads to Leaders, it was great. Well, we had to come back early yesterday. It was just wonderful, right? And it's so encouraging, the youth and all that they participated in. And my favorite part was little Caroline. Everyone knows little Caroline. She won a bronze for the Good Samaritan. And you would have thought that she was an Olympian winning a gold medal at the Olympics. What is she, 5 years old, 4 or 5 years old? It was just the greatest thing in the world, and I loved it. And all the kids that were recognized for all their hard work, and just make sure you encourage them. And the adults involved in that, all the hard work that goes into that throughout the years. And, you know, Matt and Christy, just when you get there, it's organized chaos, right? And you start to appreciate everything that they do. So we are very thankful for that. And also, if the PowerPoint was working, you know, we were gone last Sunday, of course, and what I was going to do, the first two pictures that you were going to see, I want you to look real hard. I know you can see it. Beautiful granddaughter, right? That's why we weren't here, right? And so I had two big, giant pictures of her. And also, Tom and Rhonda, I had a picture of their granddaughter, just born a few days after ours, little Annie Richardson, just a doll, and I was going to show off for him too, since I know the guy that makes the PowerPoints. But we are grateful that we had that time to go out there and spend a handful of days with that brand new baby, and we're thankful to God that it all worked out. If you would, bow with me in prayer. Our kind and loving, merciful Heavenly Father, we once again bow before your throne of grace this morning. Lifting up your name, praising you, Father, thanking you for this opportunity to gather before you as your people to honor and worship you. Father, we are mindful of the blessings that you bestow upon us as your children. We're just thankful for that. And Father, a special prayer this morning as we slow down and remember and recognize what was accomplished for us through not only the cross, but also the empty tomb. And we pray, Father, that if there is someone here this morning that needs to come to the cross and die to self to realize a newness of life that was given to us in the resurrection, we pray, Father, that the words that are said here today will help them make the right and proper decision. We pray, Father, if there's any here this morning that have never obeyed the gospel, that they would do that. Or if they are here and they have, and maybe it's been a long time, maybe even years or decades, that their heart will be touched and they will seek reconciliation. And we thank you for Jesus that makes that possible. And we pray this in his holy name. Amen. Now, I got to say also, and I tell people all the time, never rely on technology. Don't do it. Don't do it. You'll get in trouble. Well, since we've had a very busy month, I thought, well, I'll just have my PowerPoint, and that'll help me remember some things. But don't worry, you know, I've got a little bit of an outline here. But using my PowerPoint, I have different things that kind of, you know, key my memory to, you know, make sure I need to talk about what I wanted to talk about. But if you would, here in Luke chapter 24, I almost grabbed this out of habit. I want you to note here verses 1 through 12. Now, our scripture reading earlier, we went all the way to verse 7. So let's just read to verse 12 here, beginning in verse 8. Well, actually, let me read verse 7. Then the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told them these things, told these things to the apostles, and their words seemed to be like idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. You know, it doesn't make sense, right? When you try to wrap your mind around it, you come away maybe scratching your head in wonderment, you know, not fully grasping what happened, what he's talking about, right? That the gift was of such a magnitude, it's difficult to comprehend. I want to read a little tidbit here from a Reader's Digest. This is from, I think, 1986, 87, somewhere in there. A little story they had in there, and it's a story about a young man from a wealthy family. And he was about to graduate from high school, and it was the custom in that affluent neighborhood for their parents to give the graduate a new car. And this young man and his father had spent months looking at cars, and the week before graduation, they found the perfect car. And at his graduation, his father presented him a gift-wrapped Bible. The young man was so angry that he wasn't given the keys to a brand new car. He threw the Bible down and stormed out of the house, and he and his father never talked again. The young man soon moved out, and they never saw each other again, and it was the news of his father's death that brought the young man home again. As he sat one night going through his father's possessions that he was to inherit, he came across the Bible that his father had given to him on the graduation night. And he brushed the dust off the Bible and he opened it up to find a cashier's check dated the day of his graduation in the exact amount of the car that they had chosen together. You see, he didn't want to look through the Bible in so many years before. Instead, he just threw it away. Right, and as I thought about this story here, I couldn't help but wonder how many people in this world do the same thing to God. Literally, you know, toss aside the wonderful and powerful gift of God, maybe because they don't believe it, maybe because they don't understand it, maybe because it's not coming in a form that they want, that they desire, that they expect that it should come. How many people just throw aside a wonderful gift? You know, the world around us, for the most part, ridicules the idea of the resurrection from the dead. Right? We've been taught and raised in a world that says if it sounds too good to be true, then it probably is. Right? And many have, you know, been taken by just empty promises in this life, and you know, they become leery, and their hearts become hard, and they're leery of anything and anybody that tells us that we can have something for nothing. So they just discount it as not being true. It's fanciful. Like the resurrection from the dead. Now, here in our text, if you do have your Bible open, I encourage you to, Luke chapter 24, right after what we've read already, verses 1 through 12, we get this narrative of Jesus walking down the road, and he strikes up a conversation with two of the disciples, and they don't know it's him at first. It says their eyes were restrained, and so he's having a conversation with them. So kind of picking up here in the middle of the narrative here, if you would, begin with me in verse 17. Luke 24, beginning in verse 17. And he said to them, remember their eyes were stained, they don't know it's Jesus. What kind of conversation is this that you are having with one another as you walk and are sad? Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered, and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which have happened there in these days? He's talking about Jesus being crucified, right? And he said to them, what things? So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all these things, is the third day since these things have happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they also seen a vision of angels who said, he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And so look how they describe Jesus here, a powerful prophet whom they hoped would redeem Israel. They wanted to believe that he was the Messiah, but they just couldn't fully accept what happened. Right, thinking, you know, how could this really take place? The resurrection. These aren't bad people, right? But the people who had been part of this group, even in the upper room, they're still perplexed. Right now the week of the Passover, it's done. First day of the week, this new week, right? And it's time for them to go home. You know, even Peter's left wondering, you know, what happened? And we even see these women, they had a vision, they think he's alive, and they're amazed, and they're perplexed, and even a bit confused at first. What does it all mean? What is the resurrection really about? Do we have a PowerPoint now? I see it up there, and I see it on here. You want to lower the screen? I don't know if it's on there and here. Oh, that part's broken? Ah, I got you. I'll bet you gave me my notes. That's why you did it. You're a good man. All right, thank you. And so basically what I was thinking about here, I got three short main points. How to make sense of it all. How to make sense of it all. You know, and that's what these people that we read about here, they're trying, you know, to put it all together. So let's do that. Let's make sense of it all. And so number one, I want us to think about the cross. Now the Hebrews writer, because we're going to talk about the cross, the tomb, and the folded clothes. The Hebrews writer in Hebrews 12 and verse 2 tells us to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And even says in that passage that he went willingly to the cross for us. You see, I'm not going to fully understand or appreciate the empty tomb if I don't understand the cross first. Why Jesus had to go to the cross. If you remember here in verse 8, Luke 24, because on the cross something happened that maybe we don't always put together. So in verse 8 here it says, and they remembered his words. right? They remembered the words of Christ. They remembered his words on why he had to suffer and die. And Jesus explained to these men that the Christ had to suffer and die in verse 26. And so then keep that in mind as we continue on here in the text, right? The fact of the matter is sin always equals death. Sin has to be punished. That's just the truth of the matter. And the Bible tells us over and over and over again, when we are in a sinful state, when we have unresolved sin before God, we are dead spiritually. That's just the way it is. You know, there's many passages that teach us that sin is destruction, it's death, it's separation. And listen, if we don't resolve that, God has to punish us. And so what does God do? Well, God comes in the flesh, right? Jesus, 100% man, 100% God. He comes and he lives a perfect life to become the perfect sacrifice because you and I needed Christ to die in our law place. Romans 6 and verse 23 says, the wages of sin is death. So Jesus says, I'll come and I'll live and I'll die for you. Right? Because it should have been you and I on the cross. But God says, no, I love you too much, Sean. I'm going to send my only begotten son to die for you. Someone had to die for your sin, and the punishment for sin has always been death. Always. It's always been a separation from God. So Jesus, you know, he goes to the cross. And it's not enough, by the way, just to have someone perfect, if you will, die on the cross, right? You know, even a sinless child, right? That wouldn't save mankind. So God came, and John 1 and verse 14, he tabernacled, he dwelt among us, God in the flesh, to take upon the sins of mankind. And the truth of the matter is, Isaiah 53, it's our sin, it's our iniquity that make a separation between us and God. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. So Jesus came in God's great love for us and paid that price. And maybe you've heard this 1,000 times. Maybe it's been a while since you've attended a worship service in a church. Maybe you need to be reminded of this. Maybe it's something that you've heard so many times, you kind of, preacher, I've heard that, and you kind of put it in the back of your mind. Listen, I want you to listen to this like you've never heard it before. That's how important this is. Jesus came to die in your law place. You could not save yourself. You cannot save yourself. You cannot live a good enough life to somehow on the day of judgment, God say, well, you know, you helped a whole lot of old ladies across the street. You paid your taxes. You're pretty good. I guess I got to let you in. That's not the way it works. You have a sin problem. So Jesus had to go to the cross and pay that blood price. He purchased your redemption. So if I'm going to understand the resurrection, I absolutely need to understand the cross. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, he cried out in the Aramaic, Eli, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? And you think about that. And you think about the anguish that he went through and the anguish that God felt. Right? And he was doing that because I can't save myself. He did that because I'm a sinner. And he loves me. I can't redeem myself. You know, so the very first, you just go through this story here of the crucifixion, right? Think about it. The very first aspect of creation is let there be light. Right? And so that light would shine upon God's creation. But on this day, when he's being crucified, when he dies, nothing. Right? No light would come upon the earth for 3 hours, we read. Right? Nothing. Darkness would cover the face of the land. The earth would shake. The rocks would crack. The veil of the temple was rent in two, top to bottom. Matthew 27, the tombs broke open. The bodies of holy people were raised. And they walked the streets of Jerusalem and began to teach. Something happened. Right? Something that was far different from anything that happened before that or anything past that point in human history. The most important event in human history, Jesus dying in our law place. Which leads to number two, the empty tomb. So you look at our text here, Jesus, his body was dead. The blood and the water from the spear proved that. Soldiers knew it. Now, these soldiers were masters in the business of death. Right? And the Romans knew it, and the Jews knew it. There was no faking his death. It was confirmed by those who hated Jesus and those who loved Jesus. Right? So they took his body and they removed it. They wrapped it for burial and they put it in the tomb. And they would have put, they did put spices around the body. And then the Jews wanted the Roman government to seal the tomb because they knew what he said, that he would be raised from the dead after 3 days. Right? And they did that because they knew about the significance of the resurrection. And the leaders were afraid. I think they were afraid that Jesus was who he said he was. And they just simply could not believe that. That's just too hard for them. Right? He just wasn't the right person in their minds to be the Messiah. Maybe they thought they could contain the plans of God. Who knows what they were thinking, but Sunday came. First day of the week, first of 7 days, we read. As the women went to the tomb, they didn't find it like they had on Saturday or Friday. On this day, the stone was rolled away, and they're met by angels. They're told he's not here, he is risen. And they go, they tell the disciples that they saw an empty tomb. Right? But Mary Magdalene, she has an encounter all her own. Right? One she thinks is a gardener until the man calls her name, and then she sees the risen Lord. And then with great joy, she runs and tells her story. And if you think about it, Mary Magdalene was the first person to ever preach a gospel sermon, to tell the truth of the gospel. Gospels, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, she's the first person to share the gospel. Right? She went and told the other woman. Right? He was dead. We know that. He was buried. We know that. But he's alive. He rose again. That's the definition of the gospel. Death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. And I want you to read this with me if you have your Bibles open. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to read a few verses, begin at verse 55. And as you turn there, I want you to think about something. Understand that the cross was about death. The cross was about taking away death. Right? The cross wipes away the death of our sins, but the empty tomb is about life. Right? Not only has God removed my sins, but through the resurrection of Jesus, he's brought me from death to life. Not only has God removed my sins, but he's brought me from death to life. And now I can live with him for eternity. And so we see here in 1 Corinthians 15, beginning verse 55, O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is a law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we try to make sense of it all. And we try to put these events together. And so far, we've talked about, number one, the cross. Number two, we've talked about the tomb. But finally, number three, something maybe we don't think about all the time, but we read in our Bible, is the folded clothes. What does that mean? Why does God see it necessary to tell us these things? So these folded linen wrappings, depends on your translation, the Lord's body was wrapped in. And let me take you back here to Luke 24, verses 11 and 12. Right? Remember, they're trying to make sense of it all. Right on the cross, they saw Jesus die. Now they see an empty tomb. The women tell of their experience. But the evidence before them, it's incontrovertible, right? The folded clothes. Actually, I know I told you to go to Luke 12. Let me read to you John's account of this event here. Look at John's personal description. John chapter 20, beginning in verse 3. Peter therefore went out, and the other disciple were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter, came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down, looking inside, saw the linen clothes lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, followed him, and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloths lying there. And the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came into the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Now what did John believe, right? Well, he believed that Jesus was alive, you know, didn't understand how yet. Now, if someone had stolen the body of Jesus, would they have taken the time to fold the clothes and place them there nice and neat on the slab stone there? Right, think about that. You know, the cross couldn't hold him, the tomb could not contain him, and the burial clothes were unnecessary because he's alive. And as much as we celebrate the cross, let us never forget what makes Sunday the Lord's Day. Right? It was the day that death died, if you will. And life was given to all who will come and lay down before him. So let's have our conclusion this morning here. And I want to ask you, as you turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 6, and I want to ask you this question here and read a passage and then we'll offer the Lord's invitation. Do you know Jesus? Not, well, yeah, I know he's that guy in the Bible. Yeah, I've heard of Jesus. I kind of know a little bit. You know, I even went to Sunday school for a few years. I know who Jesus is. That's not what I'm talking about. Do you know Jesus? Do you know who he is? Are you in relationship with Jesus? Is he both Lord and Christ of your life? I want you to note here that if your answer is no, or I don't know, maybe. You know, if not, then think about this. Then today could be about remembering your resurrection from the dead also. And this is putting it all together, right? And I know the temptation is, you know, I come to a worship service once, maybe twice a year, you know, Christmas, Easter. But it's so much more than that. Right? Today is the first day of the week. It's a Lord's Day. Right? The day, like when we took communion earlier, remember his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection. We look forward to his glorious return as part of that. Every first day of the week, not just Easter. But it's okay to have a special day, I believe, to really focus in on the resurrection. But listen, that resurrection means nothing if you don't get into his death, burial, and resurrection. And I hope that makes sense to you. Romans chapter 6, let me read verses 3 through 7 here. This is putting it all together, making sense of it. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Right? We've got a baptistry right here filled with water. And the imagery is when we're baptized into Christ, we're dying to self, dying in Christ. We're being lowered into the water. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. When we come up out of that water, sins forgiven, we've come in contact with the blood of Christ, grace of Christ, we get to walk in newness of life. That's the imagery here. For if, verse 5, we've been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man of sin was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin, for he who has died has been freed from sin. That's how you make sense of it all. Right? Not just one time a year, which is okay, it's good. But hopefully every day, and especially every first day of the week. And so Easter and the resurrection really holds no meaning. Now we can give it nice words, we can dress up and put on our Easter clothes one time a week, but it really means nothing. Right? We're just playing a part. It means nothing unless we get into his death, burial, and resurrection through obedience to the gospel. So I want you to listen carefully here. If you're here this morning, you've never done that. And this sounds like a strange concept to you. Let's sit down and study that. Maybe you've studied enough and you're ready to do that. Let's take care of that. And there's nobody in this room that will mind sticking around for a little bit to watch you put on Christ in baptism. All right? It doesn't matter how busy the day is. Don't worry about it. That's the most important thing. Or maybe you're here this morning and you've done that and it's been a long time. Maybe along the way you lost your way. Life happened. And you're ready to say, you know what, I've messed up. I've fallen away. The good news is you get to start over. Today can be the day of your reconciliation. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2, behold, today is the day of your salvation. What a wonderful, wonderful thing that would be. If there's someone here that needs to be reconciled to God, we'd love to pray for you, pray with you. But if you have any spiritual need whatsoever, let somebody know as we stand, as we sing.